Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to chapter 2 verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be able to be together again today. Hey, as we get into our teaching time this morning, I want to start by telling a story. There once was this young woman who had just moved into her own place after getting her own first job, and her parents were very excited for her, and so they wanted to buy her a nice housewarming present. And knowing her taste, they went and they found an antique chair, and they had it recovered to match the decor of this young woman's house. It was a wonderful gift for a wonderful occasion. But then the day before her parents were to visit, this woman had some friends over, and an accident happened. They managed to spill coffee all over this antique chair. She was devastated, and she knew that her parents would be devastated as well. You know, what were they going to do? And so they scrubbed and they scrubbed, but they just couldn't get the stain out. It was obvious. You'd look at the stain and you'd know it was there. Now, what she really wanted is she wanted to be able to go back in time, right? And to be able to undo the circumstance that led to this coffee stain. That doesn't seem very realistic, and neither did the other option, which she wanted, which was her parents would, you know, put off their trip. They'd cancel it, postpone it, so that maybe she'd have a little bit more time to clean the stain or to have it recovered so that they would never know. But that didn't happen either. Instead, her parents were going to visit, and they were going to take one look at this nice chair that they'd bought and they recovered, and they were going to notice the stain. And so really the only thing that she could do would be to tell the truth and see where things went from there. You know, we're going to leave this story right here for a moment. But we might be thinking to ourselves, is this story really that big of a deal? It's just a coffee stain on a chair. It's not that big of a deal. But think about it for a moment. If this was our story, we would probably think it was a pretty big deal. In fact, there's a lot of the messes that we get in our own lives, other people might look at and say, is that really that big of a deal? But to us, it's huge. You know, as we get back to 1 John, we remember that in the passage that we looked at last week, that John is telling us about how we can have this unique, intimate relationship with God, and that this relationship, this life, is a gift that God gives us. But here's the question. What if we've already spoiled the gift that God has given us? What if we've already ruined our lives by being careless, by making stupid mistakes, or simply just making bad, immoral decisions? What then? You know, when we look to Scripture, it's not unusual to see people respond to God in fear. When Moses sees God in the burning bush, he does everything he can to escape being a part of what God is doing. The prophet Isaiah sees God in the temple and he fears for his own life. And even Jesus' friend Peter, when he first meets Jesus, tells Jesus to go away. He doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. See, it seems as though it's a normal reaction to encountering God is to become aware of how imperfect we are. That the gift of God being connected to the life of God suddenly makes us aware of how we've already spoiled things. And we might find ourselves feeling ashamed. We might find ourselves thinking, if only God would put off coming to us until we've had a chance to clean it up or to fix the mess, get our act together. But this isn't how things work. John tells us in verse 5 that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, the darkness covers our messy, often rebellious lives, cannot survive the sight of God, cannot survive the light of God. At one glance, God will look at us and he will know, he will see what is really there. And so there's no point in hiding from him. In verse 6, John says that if we pretend to be connected to God while walking in the dark, in other words, behaving in a way that is less than what God designed us for, we are telling lies. If we say we have no sin, we are simply lying to ourselves. God knows what is real, and God knows the spin that we put on things to make things seem less like a big deal than what they actually are. And if we look at verse 10, it would tell us that we are making things worse when we deny our sinfulness, because it makes God out to be a liar. Makes God out to be a liar because he said in Scripture, he said through Jesus, that he has come to rescue people like us precisely because we are sinners, precisely because we have sin in our life. Let's go back to our story about the spilled coffee for a moment. Imagine if when the young woman's parents came to visit, that they happened to have a magical cleaning solution that was able to remove stains so completely that you would never know that anything had happened. And if this was the case, you can imagine her emotions going from fear and shame to embarrassment to sudden joy. It would seem almost too good to be true. And yes, in the case of coffee stains, it might be too good to be true, but in terms of what God has done for us, this is how it works. Last week, we talked about how God's future has been displayed through Jesus. And this is key. You know, from the earliest days, Jesus' followers believed that his death was the thing that the world had been waiting for, that it was the ultimate sacrifice. No longer would the pagans need to make pagan sacrifices. No longer would the Jews bring sacrifices to the temple, even though that was a part of God's law. See, the God who had given them the law had now summed up his rescuing purposes in Jesus. Really, the temple, the law, and all those sacrifices were advanced signs of what Jesus was coming to do. See, the early church believed that Jesus' shed blood was somehow the very lifeblood of God, poured out to deal with sin in a way that none of the other sacrifices, none of the other religious practices could deal with. See, the death of Jesus is God giving his life for us and to us if we decide to walk in the light, as John says. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to get our acts together morally. We don't have to clean up our lives in order for God to do something in us. What it means is that when we consciously turn towards the light, that when we face up to what has gone wrong in the past and we don't try to hide it, and when we are determined to live in a new way from here on out, that two things happen. First, we find ourselves sharing God's life, both in terms of intimacy with God, but also in our connection with other followers of Jesus. Second, we find that somehow what Jesus did on the cross makes us clean and pure and fresh on the inside. See, Jesus' death deals with the stains, the residue, that ugly feeling that something went bad and we just can't quite shake, we can't quite get rid of. See, when we turn to the light and start to walk in it, all of that starts to go away because of Jesus. And this is why John encourages us to face up to the past. See, there's no point of hiding. God is going to see. He knows what has happened. In fact, he sees and he knows more than we often allow ourselves to remember. But if we are willing to be open and honest about it, then he will forgive us and cleanse us. Now, why does John in verse 9 say that God is faithful and just? Well, he says this because God is faithful to his promise to forgive. He says he will forgive, and he forgives. And because of Jesus' death, God has shown himself to be just and in the right. You see, through Jesus' death, God is making the whole world right again. Now, as a teenager, I remember learning about God's willingness to forgive. And my friend and I joking that now that we knew this, now that we understood that God wanted to forgive, that God's desire is to forgive, that we could now do whatever we wanted. Because, well, God had to forgive us, right? And you know what? This thought wasn't original to us. Others have thought this too. In fact, famously, the Apostle Paul writes, "Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase?" In other words, the more we sin, the more we get to experience God's love and forgiveness, right? And so why stop? We should sin more so we can experience more of God's love and more of God's forgiveness. And Paul is saying, no, this is a rhetorical question. And the answer is, of course, don't. Don't keep on sinning. If this is your attitude, you aren't getting what Jesus is all about. Unfortunately, a response like I had is not uncommon. It means that we miss the point of God's good news. You know, we've missed the point of what Jesus is all about if this is what we think. Now, going back to the image of the stained chair, it would be like that young woman coming to the conclusion that since her parents had this miraculous cleaning solution, that she could just throw coffee all over the furniture whenever she wanted. It just doesn't make any sense, and it certainly doesn't show appreciation for the gift that she'd received in the first place. Now, in our passage today, John tells us that he's writing all of this so that you may not sin. You know, what we're talking about this morning has a bit of a delicate balance to it. You know, people like us who sin need to know that Jesus has died for us and that we can be completely and totally forgiven. And that this forgiveness is available to us when we do mess up, because we will mess up. This is why the words of verse 9 can be comforting. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John here is reminding us that forgiveness is readily available when we need it. He's saying, don't hide, seek forgiveness. But for those of us who have been forgiven, we also need to know that this free gift of forgiveness is not a reason to just keep in our old patterns and habits. The forgiveness of God is not a free pass to go and do whatever we want. If this is our way of thinking, we've missed out on what God wants to do in us. That in some ways, forgiveness is just the beginning. It is just the beginning of the life God wants to give us. In John 10:10, Jesus says that he's come to give life and to give it to the full. The New Living Translation calls this life rich and satisfying. You know, folks, too often in our spiritual lives, we settle for a version of Christianity that is cheap, that doesn't really change much of our lives. And when what Jesus is inviting us to is something that's so much more than what we could anticipate, something that is rich and satisfying. Now, as John wraps up this section, it seems that he also has in mind the Jewish Christians who might be tempted to think that what Jesus, as the Jewish Messiah, has done is only for them. And so what John says is, yes, Jesus' death was for them, but it was also for the entire world. See, John wants his readers to hear about God's desire to be connected with them, but he also wants them to realize that his heart is so much bigger than just them. See, the privilege of receiving God's forgiveness should not result in us just simply being thankful that we've been forgiven, but should wake us up to God's desire for others to be connected to him as well. It should give us an appreciation of what God wants to do in the entire world. Now, as we wrap up our teaching time this morning, I want to draw out three thoughts that I don't want us to miss out on, and they all have to do with our experience of God's forgiveness. The first is that we are invited to seek God's forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to admit when I am wrong. And yet, in what John is talking about this morning, we recognize that admitting when we are wrong is the first step to receiving the gift of God's life. And so we are invited this morning to seek God's forgiveness, to allow ourselves to admit that we aren't perfect, that we have bad habits, that we have unhealthy things that we rely on, that more often than we would like, that we act selfishly, and that we are way too often complicit in the evil that exists in our world. And so we need to make space to confess these things, understanding that God already knows, and that through our confession, what we are doing is opening ourselves up to what God wants to do in us. For some of us this morning, this point about seeking God's forgiveness might be a first step in our journey as a follower of Jesus. And if this is you, and if you take this first step, please let me know. and I would love to have a conversation with you about what comes next. For others of us, we may have been following Jesus for years. And so this practice of confession, this practice of seeking God's forgiveness, is something that should be a constant part of our spiritual lives. Why? Because it changes us. This posture of seeking forgiveness is not about dwelling on how bad we are, but is about recognizing our need for God and about being open to God's perspective and direction for our lives. And this leads us to our next point. We are invited to allow God's forgiveness to change us. You know, throughout Scripture, God is clear that He doesn't like it when people just go through the motions, when our hearts aren't in it. And we can do this with the practice of confession. We can say sorry and nothing really changes about who we are and what we do. Now, one of the sayings that we have in our house is that we say sorry and then we do better. The idea being that apologies mean more when we are committed to not repeating that error. For John, he is inviting his readers to not just say sorry and then go back to the same places where sin was easy. Instead, walking in the light is to allow the light of Jesus to be a constant part of our lives through which the Holy Spirit brings about real changes in our lives. And so to seek God's forgiveness is to seek the Spirit's empowerment to change those patterns and habits in our lives that don't mesh with Jesus. Third, we are invited to allow God's forgiveness to show us God's heart for others. You know, sometimes we make our faith overly personal, and in a sense, it has to be personal. Jesus' invitation is personal. He invites people like us to follow him and to receive his forgiveness. That is personal. But it can't just stay about me. In fact, receiving God's forgiveness should help us see how big God's heart is. That his desire is that others would enjoy his life as well. And so we are to recognize that this gift that we receive, this gift of God's life, is something that is to be shared with those around us. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, as always, we thank you for today, for the opportunities and blessings that we enjoy. Develop in us an awareness of the beauty that's all around us. Lord, we are used to pretending that we are perfect, that we have our lives together. But in moments of honesty, we are painfully aware that this is a lie. And this scares us. But this morning we come before you believing that you love us despite our imperfection, that you offer us your life. And so this morning we open ourselves up to you through confession. We confess that we are not perfect, that we long for things that are not ours, that we can manipulate people and circumstances to get our own way, that our thoughts are often far from pure, that we are selfish, putting our own wants above the needs of those around us, that we are quick to judge and slow to forgive. Lord, through this confession, we acknowledge our deep need for you, that our lives are not as we want them to be. They are not as you want them to be. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, to transform us. Help us to be open to the work of your Holy Spirit in us. Give us the strength and the will to turn from old patterns and to choose to follow you today. Replace old attitudes with things that reflect your heart. In all of this, we ask that you remind us to not hide from you. Remind us of your love and your desire to make all things new, even us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as always, we love you. We miss you. We're praying for you. Have a good week. Bye.